You're listening to Work Tape, episode 137.
Welcome to another edition of the Work Tape podcast. It's your boy, Money Mitchell, Isaac Reuben Grover.
What's up, guys?
And we're following up a bit of what we led into in the last episode. We talked about some singles that had just dropped. One of them, an unreleased song from the late, great Avicii, who died a few years ago now. Kind of a sad way he went out, self-inflicted, unfortunately, which is really sad because, and it's interesting to think about because so many of the songs like later had references to death. Like even in this song, Beautiful Drug, that just came out, there's a lyric about having a death wish. And then even like Heaven with Chris Martin, you know, is the idea of I just died and went to heaven. And it's interesting to listen to those back, knowing the situation of what ended up eventually happening to Avicii. And I miss him still. I think that he was somebody in the EDM world. I think he was truly one of the greats, actually.
He was a big deal, so much so that his name transcended all the EDM artists to just become one of the greatest artists of the 2010s.
Yeah. I mean, with him, it was obviously, you know, he forged his path with songs like Levels. You know, that was like a club banger for a long time. You know, basically when that came on in a club or a dance or something, it just like kind of invigorated the room. He really came into his own and I think got a lot more mainstream attention though when he did blend the EDM with more pop sensibility and pop songwriting and even country artists as well. You know, this unreleased track had the Zac Brown Band on the vocals, or Zac Brown, I guess, maybe, on the vocals. And, you know, the same goes with like True or whatever album that was that had Wake Me Up and Hey Brother, you know, that kind of style, blending like the acoustic elements with the EDM drops. And Wake Me Up was a huge song too.
Everywhere, bro.
Hello Black doesn't need a dollar, dollar, dollar. That's what he needs. No, he doesn't need a dollar after after that song. He went from singing about needing a dollar to I got the dollars. And I'm the man also. Aloe Black had a run for a minute there.
Yeah, he did. Now I wonder who has the dollars today, you know, besides the government.
Yeah, I think, well, if he invested the money wisely, he probably should because he got in before like streaming really took over. The late 2010s, 2013, 2014, if you got in like before then, like you were one of like the last artists or musicians who actually got to see some benefits off of like physical sales and before streaming just took the forefront as the dominant way of listening to music. People still had iTunes at the time. So I'm sure there was some kickback. And I think Wake Me Up kind of had a Viva La Vida situation where it was like the number one song, I think.
No, it was. It was inescapable. Honestly, it transcended Viva La Vida in many ways, but it kind of did become the replacement Viva La Vida. It was legitimately everywhere. You could not get away from that track. And then the one that you couldn't get away was Chainsmokers, Coldplay. I mean, that whole situation.
Oh, sure. But I feel like even that song didn't quite hit the same levels. And actually, you know, with Coldplay and pun intended levels, but with Coldplay and Avicii, actually Sky Full of Stars was kind of that for Coldplay.
Oh, no, I love that track. You and I love that album.
I do too. You know, people overhate on ghost stories. And one of the things they mention,
they're tripping,
is wow, you have this really chill, subdued album. And then you end it with like Sky Full of Stars. Obviously, I'm not counting O. O is a beautiful track too.
I was going to say, yeah, I love O.
But some people are like, oh, you know, Magic and Sky Full of Stars are like really out of place on that record. Mm-mm. But people will point to Sky Full of Stars. But honestly, I feel like even with Sky Full of Stars being kind of the banger of the album, like kind of the club banger of the album, it still maintained a lot of the kind of melancholy that Ghost Stories has.
You know what's nuts?
What's that?
10 years.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we could definitely dedicate some time to talk about
it. We'll go to town on that one when we come to that.
Yeah, for sure, because I like that record too. I think it's one of Coldplay's best records before they really kind of went off the reservation a little bit.
To higher power days.
Yeah. I mean, that's not to say that there weren't great moments on Head Full of Dreams. There, actually, Everyday Life was a solid album.
That one had some good stuff. I'm not hating like on everything they did after, but as far as like an album goes and a unit, Ghost Stories is like a, it's like a covert classic, you know?
Yeah, it was kind of, I felt like one of their last like really cohesively good albums from start to finish.
Yes, 100%. Yes.
And even the unreleased track on that, Ghost Stories, was also good. So anyway, but Avicii remix sounds a bit tropical house. Though he kept kind of the soulful, like acoustic element, country element with Zach Brown on the vocals. But I was kind of expecting like it was from that era of like the Hey Brother, Wake Me Up era. But then it actually ended up being kind of like this song that sounded very similar to like Kygo in the day, which makes sense because it's like from 2018 or something.
Yeah.
Kygo was still kind of a big deal at that point with like the whole tropical house wave, which kind of died out quick. It kind of came for a moment. It had its like time in the sun and then it just faded, which is interesting. Onto the Slash track, Killing Floor, featuring Brian Johnson of AC/DC, which I didn't know that the song was actually going to have Brian Johnson. I thought that man retired, actually.
We all thought he retired yesterday.
Right, because he had to step down from touring with AC/DC because of hearing like issues. Plus, he's just old, too. So, I mean, it's like you don't have anything to prove, but a really cool bluesy track. I mean, wow, like Slash doing the blues was not what I thought I was going to get in my 2024 bingo card. But it makes a lot of sense considering like where Slash is in his career. Brian Johnson actually sounds pretty good on the track. It's nice to not have him do like the AC/DC inflection.
Yes, 100%. Thank you.
Like, I mean, don't get me wrong. The stuff he did with AC/DC in the 80s is, you know, all of that is staples of classic rock. Back in Black, you know, the Thunderstruck.
Now back with Slash.
Yeah. But, I mean, all that stuff he did in the 80s and early 90s with AC/DC, like, I'm not taking away from any of that because they were one of the best, like, traditional classic rock bands. Probably in like modern history, but him with that inflection that sounds like kind of like a chimpanzee in pain or like an orangutan in pain. She was a fast machine, you know, or like it almost sounds like if like Adam Sandler did like one of his character voices and just decided to be like in a rock band.
That's pretty good. That's a good parallel.
Like, that's kind of exactly what Brian Johnson sounds like. Shoot that thrill! You know? Like,
you know, I kind of forgot how funny Brian impersonations can be.
Oh, it's great.
That's one of the funnier ones. And Eddie Vedder's.
And then what's even funnier is after Brian Johnson stepped down from AC/DC, they were on tour with Guns N' Roses, and then Axl Rose also sang the AC/DC stuff. So he was really putting in every night. Because he was singing AC/DC and he was singing Guns N' Roses. But, you know, Axl Rose at this point sounds like Mickey Mouse when he tries to hit the high notes. So
it's kind of like he like tries to do the Brian thing sometimes, but definitely the Robert Plant thing. You know, like it's just funny to listen. I don't know.
Oh,
it's just
yeah. Me. Yeah. Like I said, I've expressed numerous times that I'm not going to pay that kind of money to see Guns N' Roses. Let me be really honest. Because many of the people there, I think, are kind of in like midlife crisis mode. They have money, but they're trying to like relive the glory days.
Mm.
It's not my crowd, and I'm not going to be paying, you know, like $200 or $300 to see Axl Rose sound like Mickey Mouse. Like on the vocals. Guns N' Roses is one of those bands many would argue that they kind of coasted off of like one album, which was Appetite for Destruction.
I don't disagree with that. They really never, I mean, their later albums, you could make an argument, I guess, as a Roses fan, but it's not, no one else really cares about anything other than Appetite. Not really.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple tracks off of like Use Your Illusion 1.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously like November Rain and like Don't Cry and some like
they had some good tracks from other records, but they never had an album even like close to Appetite.
No, Appetite for Destruction was the peak, and unfortunately they peaked on their first album.
They did. They did.
And that's what happens. You know, you peak on the first album and then you can't really follow it up, and then it's difficult. So, but yeah, both the songs are pretty good, actually. Like I said, I was pleasantly surprised by how good the Slash track was. Sometimes his own ventures can be like hit and miss. When he hits, he hits. When he misses, it's just not very good, to be honest. But this is more of a hit, I'd say, especially if you're in that blues kind of thing. Honestly, I would love to see Slash and Gary Clark Jr. do a song together.
Oh, that would be good. Mm-hmm.
I think those two would be great, because I think Gary Clark Jr. actually opened for Guns N' Roses for like the European tour at some point. So that would be great to see those two get together, especially because I think like Gary's voice lends well to like that style of playing. Actually, Gary is coming out with a new album too.
Ah.
Which from the singles kind of sounds a bit like Lenny Kravitz inspired.
That bro looked like Lenny Kravitz on the guitar.
Yeah, but kind of Lenny Kravitz in the sense that like it's rock and roll, it's R&B, there's some blues, like it's kind of multifaceted. Like you couldn't really put Lenny Kravitz like in a box genre-wise.
Oh no, he was all over the place, which I think worked to his benefit.
Oh, yeah. And I think he just got inducted he's going to be inducted, I think, in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. He's on the ballot list along with, I think, Sade and Tribe Called Quest and countless others. So hopefully he gets inducted in. Please, please, I would really love to see Sade get actually inducted in. That would be amazing. How she's not in there already, I don't know. But maybe it was an eligibility issue, because it's you have to do it like 30 years after your first album or something. But it's been that long since Diamond Life. So anyway, hopefully that happens, because I'd love to see it. Really quickly, the House now has voted on the bill to ban TikTok. Wah, wah.
Well, okay. I have my reservations about TikTok, but Seems, you know, there are quite a few people that don't want it banned. But there are a lot of people, I'm not going to lie, who want the thing banned. So it's not, we're pretty divided as Americans on this issue as well.
Yeah, even though it's funny because they say, oh, like the decision from the House and like the Senate to vote on it, to ban it was kind of like unanimous. You know, when it comes to actual Americans, it's a lot different, you know. And the one thing that's important to know about this as well is that say if it does pass through the workings of the Senate and say that Joe signs off on it, it's not an immediate ban. And the bill entails this. If Joe Biden signs off on the bill after it goes through the rounds and the approval process, what's going to happen is it gives TikTok 6 months to sever ties from the parent company, ByteDance.
It's run by the Chinese communists, yeah.
Correct. Right. It's a Chinese company. So what they're basically saying is you have 6 months to separate from Chinese ownership and get ownership from somebody else. And if you can't do that within 6 months, then the platform gets axed, basically.
I also read that Chinese is very hesitant to get a forced sale of the company because, you know, they're not going to let go of it easily. I've been seeing a lot of Americans like, I don't know if you've heard of like Kevin O'Leary.
Oh, yeah.
There are some other people like they want to like come up with a group who can buy TikTok. And from what I've read, it looks like it might be a multi-billion dollar company in that regard. So it's not going to be easy pickings. It's going to be, think it's a pretty high value product, you know?
Sure.
Regardless of what you think about the app, it's very valuable. So
Sure. To be honest with you, I wouldn't be surprised if Elon tries to throw his hat in the ring.
Oh my gosh. He's going to probably call it X and then T, right? You got like T. I don't
TX.
Know.
He might call it TX.
TX.
He might call it TX, to knowing his obsession with X's.
You're right.
But Elon actually could potentially do it because he has enough money to buy TikTok for sure. Like, no question, he has enough money to buy it. The only question becomes, and this is what they've talked about too, in terms of certain companies trying to acquire TikTok, because of course they were talking about, like, let's say if Google acquires it, let's say if like Meta acquires it, the issue becomes antitrust.
Bro, and anti-Trump, because Trump actually flipped on his opinion about it.
Right.
I mean, but more so because he doesn't want Meta to engulf everyone. So that's weird.
Right. And here's the thing too. Obviously, like 6 months, you know, would be, say it gets passed, you know, this month or next month, probably in April, and it gets signed. That's till October. That's right before the election.
Oh.
But there's a chance that if Donnie T comes back to office, he could sign an executive order to just completely disregard the whole thing, you know, depending on how strong he feels about it.
Mm.
But I definitely think that it's going to be bought by like a billionaire type person. It's either going to be bought by a billionaire type person like O'Leary or Elon, or even I think Bezos could throw his hand in the ring if he wants.
Dude, I think Bezos could do that too. You're right. I didn't think about that. Mark Zuckerberg.
Yeah. But the thing with Zuckerberg, though, like I said, is because Meta already owns Snapchat and Instagram, there would be real concerns of antitrust if Zuckerberg tries to buy it.
I could see Zuckerberg doing something behind the scenes, even if we don't know that he was the one that did it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if he had people, you know, make it look like an accident. I'm just kidding.
But I definitely think it's either going to be a big party like that that just has a ton of disposable money to buy into it, or it's going to be like a big tech company that acquires it for, you know, an insane amount of money.
Tim Cook. Just kidding.
Yeah, there was speculation that the company that runs that live streaming service, Rumble, might try to buy it.
Dude, that would change the game. Wow.
Well, especially because Rumble is very much like a anti-woke.
It's an anti-YouTube, man. It's an anti-YouTube. It's actually, to a degree, an anti-TikTok. It's doing things differently than everyone else.
Yeah.
So I could totally see this being like, hey, we have TikTok. We just turned it upside down, and I'd like to take a minute, so sit right there. You know what I mean? Like,
right. So I think it'll be really interesting to see what happens. But like I said, there is the important context to know, which is that it's not going to be an immediate outright ban that's going to take effect as soon as pen hits paper. There is going to be that 6 month period where they have an opportunity to get different ownership, then it gets banned. But even then, I feel like a lot of people in the US would probably just use a VPN to access it somewhere else.
That's what I was thinking too, because a lot of people are so upset about it. And even though it would hurt a lot of businesses to a degree, that's only to a degree, you know, like some people will do the VPN. If you're too broke to get a VPN, then you're probably not making money in your business. No shame there. I'm just saying,
yeah,
you're probably not scaling, and you know, you probably haven't made much anyway.
Are you just telling people, Isaac, to get their bread up, is what you're saying? Get their bread up so you can go ahead and get a VPN in case TikTok gets banned. That's kind of what it sounds like.
Well, you know, I do some trading, so yes, I do think a VPN is handy to have.
Message from Isaac at the Work Tape Podcast. If you're too broke for a VPN, get your bread up in case TikTok gets banned.
No, I'm not classist. I totally understand. I'm just saying, that's why I said no shame, you know?
Yeah. But even if it does get banned, I feel like, you know, Reels is still around. Like Shorts.
You mean TikTok Lite?
Yeah. Actually, Triller is a video app that works very similarly to TikTok that actually got some traction because I think TikTok got banned in India.
Yeah, it is.
So people like were starting to use Triller. So there's definitely going to be some pivoting. But I honestly think that if it becomes available for somebody to buy like that, I think there's a real possibility of, like I said, one of these parties getting in on it and then it just going to the highest bidder. Because even though China's going to want to try to hold on to it, money talks. So
I'm not going to get too political, but this is an interesting observation. I do realize, like, you know, when you realize that, like, YouTube, Facebook, and maybe I think Instagram, I can't remember, but they're like banned in China, right?
Yeah.
So with them, with us, with banning TikTok, them having an issue with that, I do find that kind of odd. I mean, there's a lot we could unpack there. I'm just saying, like, you know, you already banned like three of our greatest apps. So what's the upset there?
Sure. It's like a little bit like contradictory. And
yeah. And their TikTok is wildly different for their own youth. So there's that.
Oh, for sure.
It's like, why do we get the bad TikTok? Why can't we have the good TikTok?
Exactly. One of the big things that I think I want to try to get into a little bit more in the next episode, actually, did you hear the recent comments from James Blake regarding the streaming services?
Actually, no, I didn't. Now I have to read up on it.
All right. So basically, James Blake came out. He got interviewed for, I think, a big magazine or a publication. And he essentially said that we, meaning the general music listening public, have been brainwashed by the streaming services, and that if people want quality music, that someone's going to have to pay for it, essentially meaning that the labels and the streaming services are not paying enough. And then there's talks of him potentially getting together with other people in the tech space to create a sort of alternative way of streaming. It's very interesting.
This sounds like an amazing topic. I'm going to read up on that.
Yes. And actually, it's his comments have already delayed a couple of major releases already.
You know, nothing is certain. And this is a big reason why businesses and artists, you know, they depend on this. We had the whole UMG situation. Now that feels like it's probably not even relevant anymore, because this is greater to a degree, right? So it's really important for artists and bands and people on these apps to think of backup plans. And, you know, we might think that, well, it's not my fault that, you know, this is happening. Like, it's not the first time.
Oh, yeah.
But the second time around, we should learn that we can't rely on these platforms.
Right.
To save us. So we have to become adaptable as creatives. If you want to survive, you do have to adapt. And we need to talk about this more as a community moving forward. And we need to stop being so ignorant and to stop being sitting ducks. Otherwise, we're going to get shot. So, yeah.
Yeah. So more on James Blake and the streaming platforms next week. And this will conclude this episode of the Worktape Podcast. Money Mitchell, Isaac Rubin Grover. Stay well to one another. Peace.
Peace out. Survive.